Yo, Uncle Mike here. Hope everybody's doing well. This is actually a re-recording of my first episode of, or my first segment of this episode. Sorry, little brain fart there. Hope everybody's doing well. I just got back from vacation. It has been quite the experience going there, coming back, a lot to unpack, actually, now that I've had some time to really, really think about the whole trip in totality. It's really a memory now, and certain things have popped up or stuck with me, and I will try my best to go over each and every one of them and talk in such a way where I am not saying ums, ahs, and you knows, just because I am really trying to work on that, work on my delivery. But at any rate, it was great trip, but the travel time to get there and to come back was just ridiculous. Getting over there was a 15-hour flight, and then there was a 4-hour layover, and then another 4-hour flight. So all in all, it took like a whole 24 hours to get to Thailand, and then it took another 24 to get back. So it was physically grueling. It was. I mean, going back was just even worse because we got to sit like at the very tail of the plane coach. So it was just, yeah, it was pretty miserable. Coming back, I was just like, oh man, you know, vacation. So it was pretty, once we got there, it was like totally worth it. Don't get me wrong, you know, like getting there was rough, getting back was rough, but you know, it offsets how much fun we had in Thailand. And I mean, the one thing I will say about Thailand is just how friendly everybody is, how beautiful everything is. Given their, you know, it's not really a third world country, but it's a poorer country than the United States. But it was just still a beautiful place. People are just the nicest people ever. We stayed in Bangkok. And then from Bangkok, we went to Chiang Mai. And then from Chiang Mai, we went to Krabi. And just at every destination that we went to, everybody was just super polite, super nice. And we didn't stay at the like touristy areas. We stayed at the very local, quieter places, I guess. And, you know, customers and people, locals, they were not at all like threatened or snooty or gave us looks or whatever. They're just super polite. And oh my gosh, the food is just bar none. The best food for the best price. I mean, we were getting bowls of noodles for under $2. Street food, everything was less than a dollar. Oh my god, like the chicken, the fried chicken that they were frying up on the street was so delicious. And then you had all of the fruit, every fruit that I tried was just like, oh my god, mind blown. And apparently it is in season all year round. I mean, it was just amazing. I think my favorite fruit had to be the mangosteen. It was like so, it wasn't so cheap. It was still considered expensive while we're in Thailand, but I mean, it was cheap to me and it was just delicious because, yeah, I mean, I want to say I paid roughly about $6 for a bag of it. So yeah, that's technically kind of expensive in Thailand versus paying $30, upwards to $30 here in the States. And it's not even seasonal. It's like rare, or like so rare that you'll see it. And it's like $15 a pound. So it's pretty wild. So had a chance to have that. I even, you know, attempted to try durian for the first time ever, and that had always turned me off growing up as a kid. In my whole life, I never ever tried durian because of the smell. And this time around, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it because it's a very popular fruit in Thailand. Everybody's eating it. However, it's only allowed in certain areas. You can't eat it at hotels. You can't eat it on the trains and public transportation. Everybody's like offended by the smell. So I'm like, you know, I'm over this. I'm over like being afraid of the smell, you know, like if everybody loves this fruit out, you know, why not just try it, you know? And if my dad grew up loving it, my mother grew up loving it, even my ex-girlfriends who had durian loves it. It's like, what's the problem, right? Like, you know, I got more balls than a woman, I think. So I went and tried it. I was like, oh my God. And I was blown away how creamy, like, after you get past the smell, it's just like, it's such a fragrant smell and taste. I can't even describe it, but it tastes like ice cream. Yeah, it tasted like ice cream. And it was just very, very delicious. And now I'm a fan of durian, and I can't believe it took me 43 years to finally say, oh yeah, I'll give it a try. So I am a fan of that now. Yeah. What else did I eat there? Again, I tried the 50-year... there was a Michelin-rated restaurant. Again, it's like a well-known restaurant that serves beef noodles. And they've been cooking that beef for 50 years. 50-year-old stew. It was crazy. And it was just like a long line standing out there. Tourists, everybody's like taking pictures of the stew. And it's just like, oh my God, it looks amazing. And it smelled so good. And I was just like, let me get two bowls of those things. And it was like, yeah, it was less than $2. I was like, man, you can't beat this. It's so good. That's probably the most memorable. Like, and I'm so glad I grabbed two bowls of it. Because after I ate one, I was just like not satisfied. I was just like, man, I don't know when I'm going to come back to Thailand. I am definitely getting me another bowl. And, you know, Thailand was just like, it was hot. You know, for February. It was crazy. Supposedly, it was the coolest time of the year, but I call BS on that because when I went there, it was just uncomfortably hot. And I was just like, kind of ticked off. I was like, what is this? I thought it was the coolest time of the year. So, you know, we dealt with that because, of course, when I was there, I heard, you know, back home in California, it's freaking snowing and flooding. I was like, oh my God. I hope everything back home is okay while I'm enjoying the warm sun and the humidity. But at any rate, had a great time in Bangkok. Flew out to Chiang Rai. Chiang Rai has got to be my favorite place of the three places we visited in Thailand. Bangkok, it was very metropolitan, city-like. Everything is very dense. Everything is compressed, you know. Real estate is very limited. So just a lot of hustle bustle, a lot of traffic. It was kind of annoying. I'm not going to lie. I was not very happy with just kind of like, there were a lot of things to see, a lot of things to eat. Don't get me wrong. But then it was just like too much. Pollution was too much. Sounds, noise, you know. And then I had a chance to go to Chiang Rai or Chiang Mai, which is, yeah, Chiang Rai, which is 20 minutes from Chiang Mai. Yeah, Chiang Rai to Chiang Mai. We stayed in Chiang Rai, sorry, not in Chiang Mai, which is like very quiet, very local, not a lot of like tourism going on over there, which was, it almost felt like suburban Thailand, but it was beautiful. Weather wasn't as hot because it was further up north. Wasn't as humid, wasn't as polluted, wasn't as noisy. Nighttime was very quiet, serene. There was still a nightlife if we wanted to go out to nightlife. So there were certainly things to do, but then there was a lot of nature. We went to see the White Temple, the Blue Temple. We went hiking to see the waterfall. I mean, there was just like so many things to see out there. I want to say the White Temple was probably my favorite temple of all the temples. And we've seen a lot of temples. White Temple, Blue Temple, Black Temple. We went to see the Black Temple. There was also the Grand Palace, which was beautiful. Which is yeah, marble everywhere. But it was raining. Yeah, there was like certain times of the day while we were in Bangkok, it was just raining and humid. So it was just, yeah. Weather wasn't favorable, but still, you make do. You enjoy the best that you can. So Chiang Rai, we were only there for 2 days, 3 days. It didn't feel like it was enough. Definitely wanted to go back and do more of it. So hopefully the next time we will visit Chiang Mai, because it's a little bit about 2 hours away from Chiang Rai. But it's also kind of very similar to Chiang Rai. More things to see, I guess, because it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit more popular place, more touristy spot. So I would definitely looking forward to going back to Thailand for sure, and going to visit other parts of Thailand. Yeah. And then finally, we rounded off and went down south to Krabi Town, not Phuket, which is very close by, probably about an hour or 2 hours away from Krabi. But it was just like, you want to talk about tourism, that's it. It was like Hawaii minus the cost of living, the cost of vacation, you know, like beautiful beaches everywhere you look, was just beautiful beaches. However, just a bunch of tourism, bunch of like foreigners everywhere you looked. It was just, yeah, I mean, you want to talk to tourism, that's where it's at. But I mean, at that point, I didn't even care anymore. Again, it was super hot. It was just super muggy. But you know, even at that point, we just got used to it. But the hotel we stayed there was just beautiful. It was just in front of a beach, you know, like right when you open the front door, it's just like, boom, the beach is right there. So it was just like so much fun, so beautiful. It was so strange because water during the morning would wash up all the way close to the front of our hotel. But then by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, it would recede all the way back, like freaking at least 3 miles back. So it was like all of a sudden all this beachfront just appears, and it's just like you see kids running out there looking for seashells, like boats are all, you know, like, how do you say, washed up, I guess, like, you know, because all the water receded. And so, you know, they're all stranded. But it was just like every day, we were there for like 4 days, and it was just like every day was like that. It was just like beautiful. The hotel staff was just amazing. They were offering breakfast every morning, great food. Again, great fruit. Everything was a tad bit more expensive out there, but it was just still a really wonderful time. And I fairly enjoyed myself there. But at any rate, that's kind of like my trip to Thailand. Oh my God, yeah. I didn't even forget to mention the best part of Krabi Town was we actually went to an elephant sanctuary, and I was just like, wow, that was my first time ever being that close to an elephant, touching an elephant, bathing the elephant, massaging the elephant, just like showing this elephant such a good time, like just like, you know, spoiling the shit out of her. And they were so happy to see us. And I mean, they're just crazy majestic animals. And I really hope I could have another chance to visit another elephant sanctuary, because elephants are amazing. And that was like kind of like the, I guess, the icing or the cherry on top of the whole trip was just having a chance to spend time with the elephants. We even took cooking classes, you know, me and my girl Rena, we had a great time. Just, it was very romantic, just like the whole trip. It was just, I couldn't choose a better partner to go on this trip with. I mean, you know, as great as it was, I definitely want to go back and kind of also check out the party scene. There's things we didn't even get to see, a lot of ladyboys, which was crazy because we thought it was like rampant out there, but I think only ran into one, and she was rather shy. So I you know, didn't want to like confront him, like, hey, you know, gotta take a picture with you. But yeah, it was pretty, it was all in all, it was just such a great trip, and I'm really looking forward to go back there again, you know. And then like the moment I get land back to California, it's like, damn, back to reality. Had to catch up with sleep, jet lagged, tired, went to see the chiropractor, had to get caught up with all of my bills, had to get caught up with all of my work and email. My dad caught COVID again. My brother came back from China, and I missed him for like half of his stay here. So I didn't really get a chance to really chop it up with him. The time we did see each other, he was just busy running around, didn't really get to sit down and just shoot the breeze with him, you know? It was kind of sad, but, you know, it's all good. I guess eventually I'll see him again and then we'll chop it up. But my dad, he was caught COVID because he didn't, when he first caught it, they gave him medication to take. He didn't finish taking it, and he just thought, oh, I'm better, I'm not going to take it anymore. And then I believe because he didn't finish his medication, the COVID resurfaced or flared up again, and now it's in him, and then he just caught it again. He's sick again, and it's just like, oh, geez, everybody needs to like quarantine and stay away from him. I couldn't, you know, I missed out and seeing him for a whole week. It's just like, oh, geez, man. You know, I come back, I find out one of my friends passed away, or a friend's husband passed away. It was just like, geez, man. Yeah, I feel like, dang, maybe I should have just stayed out in Thailand for another week. You know, it was snowing. Oh, my God, it was crazy. I was just like, you know, come back, like, why is this so cold? Why is this in the 30s? And then it's like, I'm driving to work in the morning, because I leave like 6:30 a.m. I'm driving, and it's just all like, normally when I'm driving, I'm looking at the landscape, I'm looking in front of me, and there's usually mountains or hills. It's just like they're covered with snow. I'm like, what? Where am I? This feels like Denver, Colorado. It was pretty. It was really pretty to look at, but I was just like, oh my God, that was just the craziest thing, because like my whole life growing up in the Bay Area, I have never seen that before. Mount Diablo, Mission Peak, never heard or seen or heard there was snow up there before. And to come back and to look at those mountains or hills and to see it covered with snow was just like mind-blowing. So it was, yeah, it's been, you know, 2023 has been pretty crazy so far. You know, getting back in the swing of things. There's also this whole, you know, getting my real estate business back up, trying to really push for it this year, just trying to, you know, be successful at it. So root for me, guys. Oh, shoot. At any rate, I better end it on this note. Thanks for listening, guys. I will talk to you guys again soon. Yo, yo, what is good? Uncle Mike here, back again with another episode. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a while. Been super busy, slammed with work. Haven't had a chance to print. Had not had a chance to post an episode because I've been super busy, a little lazy, not gonna lie, just not feeling the podcasting bug, I guess you can say. However, I wanted to just lay an episode down just to give an update on what's been going on since I've been back from vacation. Staying busy with work, obviously. Staying busy with life, my business, my real estate business. Tax season, tax time is here, so I've been working on that. So everything is good though. Blessed. Can't can't be happy enough that I have things going on in my life. Things are well with my girlfriend. And I just wanted to post a quick episode. I don't have a lot of time because today is super busy. It is April 6th, Thursday. I already have everything kind of planned out in my head, but I figured I'd do a recording as well, just because, you know, what's a couple of minutes, what's a few minutes in posting what's been going on about my life and sharing it. So as of right now, I am doing my taxes. I am getting my expenses all together, going to turn them over, because this is the first year I'm actually going to be claiming my mother's house as a sort of like a rental income sort of a thing. It's really just to cover the mortgage and whatever bills that's there. There really isn't any sort of residual profit or anything like that. But, you know, for the sake of wanting to hold on to my mother's house, you know, pass it down in the future, what have you, you know, you can't beat property, man. Like, that's something that I've certainly have learned in the real estate game, is, you know, holding on to property is probably your best bet in becoming wealthy. It's like a bankable, it's almost bankable, that if you own a lot of property, you will become rich. And that is kind of one of my goals, you know, like, not just like, oh, I want to have a lot of money. You know, I just want to have access to things and not have to worry about money. And it's almost like I'm kind of tired of kind of living like that, you know, where it's like I got a penny pinch. It's a good habit to have, you know, saving money. And this is something I've really kind of learned from my girlfriend. Super frugal, and I'm so grateful that she taught me that. So I'm, you know, trying to implement, you know, just penny pinching. My mother was not a penny pincher. I wouldn't say she wasn't. She was certainly, she'll save where she can. She never let go of stuff. She was certainly a hoarder of things, but she would blow money, like profit, back into the business, just to keep it current, just to kind of stay above water. And it was very apparent for me when I was working with her back in my days living with her in Sacramento. It was disheartening, like watching her like, oh, hit a profit, and then like immediately put that profit back into ordering more product. Ordering more, and sure, yes, you know, you have to do that. I get that. You have to keep the business going. You need to, whatever profit you make, you kind of put it back into, you know, you got to restock your product and keep selling. Only issue was she was doing it in such a way where there was nothing to save. Like, there was nothing to go back into, like, in a savings, or there was nothing. There was literally nothing. Like, you know, as a business owner, the owner eats last. That's really how it goes. And I was just seeing it, you know, because firsthand, because I was, you know, the son of a business owner. I was watching her put money back into restocking, pay off all her workers, including myself. And she paid herself, you know, and me and her, we got the same wage. Literally, we were getting minimum wage. Minimum wage doesn't do anything. Minimum wage doesn't get, you know, what does it get you? We were both living from paycheck to paycheck, you know, and she was preaching, save money, save money. Okay, save money. And I did. I took up that advice and ran with it. I saved money and I paid off my bills. I paid off my school loans. I paid off my credit card debt. Even saved enough, a little bit of scratch to put a down payment on a house. And it was a very, very good timing for me, because the real estate bubble just popped. So the market was like really bad. Houses in Sacramento were like going for $50,000 a house. And it was just a really good time to buy, which, you know, that's when I struck, when the iron was hot. I mean, it didn't take me, it was a 20%, 20% of a $50,000 house is what? Not even 10,000. Oh yeah, it's like $10,000, you know, like I can't save that. So, you know, that helped me out immensely, you know, like to be in that perfect timing to get in the real estate market. And, you know, because of that real estate market being the way it was, this is where I'm at today. So I have timing to really thank for that. I have my mother to thank for that. I have my girlfriend to thank for that. Just, I have the universe to thank for that. I'm sorry, I'm getting off of track, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, like holding on to real estate is so important, and that is something that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to really put myself out there, market myself, and go out and just talk to people. And something I'm trying to do a better job of is just being friendly to people and being more open to conversation and seeing where it goes. And then, you know, if I introduce myself, I can talk about what I do part-time, even if this is just part-time. I don't even have to say it's part-time, but I can let them know, like, hey, if you need advice or you need services, I can provide. So I, you know, that's probably what I've been most busy with this past month of March. You know, I hadn't really put out any content for podcasting because I've been just busy with my business and, you know, taxes and working on the house and just this and that, this, that, and the third. So here I am. But, you know, don't think I'm not still posting episodes. I'm still not doing anything, because I am certainly still trying to do that. And this is certainly helping me. This is sort of maybe a motivational thing to get my juices going, get me amped, to kind of get me pumped up to go, you know, keep doing this, keep doing what I'm doing. I'm doing something right. I believe in myself. So yeah, today's just going to be super busy doing taxes. I'm going to have to run off and drop them off afterward to my brother-in-law's house. I need to run to do some grocery shopping. Girlfriend's stopping by over the weekend. Got to pick up some groceries. I'm going to go hit the gym. I'm going to clean the house. And then I'm going to try to, if I can, fit in some maybe 30 minutes or to an hour focusing on my business, like doing something that can help promote my business. Today I've posted a Instagram post advertising myself. Tonight I'm going to try to go out and drop letters around my neighborhood, around my complex, to just get my name out there, just so people will know, like, hey, you have a friend and in the neighborhood, or a real estate agent in and around the neighborhood. Of course, I'm going to be competing. There's also one or two other agents around the complex, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, everybody's in, you know, real estate, or everybody doesn't mean we have to be enemies. You know, it's a little bit of competition, but, you know, possibly we can work together. So we will see. At any rate, it is 8:55 now. I'm 10 and a half minutes in. I think that's all I have. I thought I was going to give myself 15 minutes, but you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get shit done right now. All right, guys. It's good talking. I will be talking to you guys again soon. All right, peace out.